Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we explore the Old Testament book of Malachi and learn about the dangers of questioning God. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another episode of Everyday Truth. And we are currently in the book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, and we're nearing the end, John, of the book of Malachi. Matter of fact, last episode, we talked about, will a man rob God? What a question.
It is a very piercing question, a convicting question.
It is convicting to think that we can get to the place in our lives where we're so proud that we will selfishly hoard God's resources for ourselves.
And it's, you know, our mind can convince us sometimes that we're doing God a service by giving money to Him.
Exactly. And not realizing that all of it belongs to Him anyway. Our whole life is just a matter of stewardship. It's required in stewards, the Apostle Paul said, that a man be found faithful. It's not my job to determine all that I get in life. Matter of fact, what I get in life is what God gives. You know, my job is to determine how am I going to faithfully steward that which God has given me.
And it does remind me that God does hold us accountable for what we steward. He gives us different things in our life, and we're accountable. And God wants us as His children, you know, to have the right perspective toward Him.
And the exciting thing to me at the end of last episode that we talked about this topic of will a man rob God and the tithe and all that was the fact that when we are properly aligned with God and stewarding His resources the way that He expects, the Bible says the blessing comes, but then even people that don't know God perk up and take notice.
It does remind us that what we do does affect not just our life, but people around us.
The Bible says that we ought to walk honestly toward them that are without. And the way that we treat each other, the way that we follow our God, the way that we practice our Christianity it's an advertisement, isn't it?
It certainly is. As Christ tells His disciples in John 13, by this shall all men know you're My disciples, if you have love one for another. And definitely love does include, acts of charity toward one another.
So our theme for the book has been questioning God. It's not wrong to ask God questions. So I want to make sure that we're emphasizing that. But it is wrong at the core level to question the character of God. God is our unchangeable, immutable God. And what we're finding in the book of Malachi is people were not self-aware. They were asking, God was asking them a question, and they were kind of looking back at God and saying, what are you talking about? Who, me? I didn't do anything wrong.
It reminds me of a rebellious child when a parent tries to correct that child.
Right.
And the child takes it out on the parent.
Yeah, they what? That's what they're saying. And that's what they're saying here in Malachi. And matter of fact, we'll see the next little section of that in Malachi 3 and verse 13, where the Bible says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? In other words, God, God says, you've spoken some pretty strong words against me. And the people are like, what are you talking about? And watch how the Lord explains in verse 14. Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What are they saying here, John?
It reminds me of what we see in Psalm 73, even, where the psalmist decried the fact that he looked around at him and the wicked had more than heart could wish, it appeared to him. And he said, I've washed my hearts in vain. I've cleansed my heart and I've washed my hands in vain and cleansed my heart in innocency. And they kind of convey that same attitude here. God, here we are. We're trying to serve you and do what's right. And this is what happens to us. They have forgotten who God is and who they are. And they are not looking at the big picture, which in Psalm 73, the psalmist comes around to that point to see the big picture. But in Malachi, they're not there yet.
I suppose that all of us have gone through these murky seasons in our life where we might not verbalize the question to the Lord, but in our heart we say, is it really worth it? Is this Christian life, is it really worth it to serve God?
The devil does tempt us to have that mentality. And, you know, even the disciples, you know, ask Christ, Christ, we've given all this up for you. You know, basically, what are we going to get in return?
But watch the Lord's commentary on that attitude. And that's what really kind of shocked me when I looked at this again, because the Lord says, your words have been stout against me. You know, so when we say things like, it's not worth it to serve God, this is not, I mean, other people are benefiting and they're not serving God, and what's the value? The Lord takes that personally, doesn't he?
He certainly does. And what a thought to speak stoutly against God. I mean, even just thinking of that concept ought to cause us to take note of our lives. You know, how do we view God and deal with God?
Verse 15 says, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. So through three statements, all basically saying the same thing, and that is, here are people that have no desire to serve God, that's not a priority in their life, and they seem to be doing just fine.
You know, the people in Malachi's day have forgotten to have the eternal perspective, and their focus is just the temporal. You know, what's happening right now, what's happening today, and they're gauging their spiritual walk and their walk with God, not with the right perspective of eternity, but just what has happened in my circumstances today. And whenever we focus on our circumstances and the circumstances around people that are around us, we're going to come to wrong conclusions.
It seems as if it's a Bible theme. Whether it's the Lord Jesus himself, thou fool, thou knowest not that today thy soul will be required of thee, or the Apostle Paul contextualizing trials and saying, hey, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It just seemed like the biblical authors and preachers were constantly trying to lead people back to, it's not about the here and now. It's about this big thing called eternity.
You know, you're right, Pastor. God so often talks in his word about living our life with eternity in view. I think in Hebrews 11, it talks about Abraham and how that he did not yet receive all the promises from God. That's because he looked for a city which is built by God. It doesn't have foundations on earth. But Abraham knew that God, in the kingdom of God, the eternal perspective, is what really mattered in life.
You know, it's interesting that you point out Abraham there in the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, because it seems as if that is a theme even with the other characters. So when Moses came to years, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so often we emphasize this season of life to the exclusion of the great benefits of eternity.
Oh, you're right. And Satan does such a remarkable job and temptation sometimes in getting people to focus on the here and now, which was exactly what he did with Jesus Christ in Matthew 4. You know, you bow to me now, you can have all these kingdoms right now.
They've done all kinds of psychological studies on that. The famous study done years ago about with children at various ages. Would you like one piece of candy now, or if you wait, we'll give you two pieces of candy in an hour? And how many children, no, they just wanted that one candy now, and even would leave the room and put that candy in front of them. Now, if you eat that, you can have more later. And just that temptation of instant gratification.
You're exactly right. You've nailed it on the head.
So verse 16, the Bible says, then they that feared the Lord. So this is a different category of people. So some people were questioning God, speaking stoutly against him. But the Bible says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. What a special thought. So in the midst of some of these people that were complaining and not seeing the value of serving God and even speaking against God in that sense, the Bible says some people were rallying, people that had a genuine respect and awe of God, and they were encouraging each other. And God was taking note of the encouragement of believers among themselves.
You know, this is always an encouraging verse to me when I read it, Pastor, because you're right. Throughout Malachi, he has talked to them pretty stoutly about what their sin is. But there always was this remnant of people that follow God, that love God. And that is always an encouraging, no matter how dark our days may be sometimes, there are always people that want to serve God as well, that want to follow God and that do fear God, that call upon his name.
So a couple encouraging factors to me in this verse. Number one, the encouragement of other believers who have not bowed the knee. Yeah, those that feared God got together with those that feared God. And how important it is for us to come together to provoke one another unto love and good works. I mean, that's the very purpose of the local church.
Oh, you're exactly right. And we see throughout the epistles of Paul, in the epistle of Hebrews, we find the idea of community between the brethren. You know, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ are to have a strong sense of unity in following Christ.
Exhort one another while it's called today. So the urgency of exhortation. So I see the encouragement that comes from like-minded people. But then the second encouragement I see, which is far deeper than even that, is the fact that God's paying attention. And a book of remembrance is written. Now, is that a physical book that God keeps in heaven? It may be. You know, I would argue there is a book, you know, that God is remembering, he's jotting down, he's journaling the faithfulness of these people to each other, that God takes notice.
It reminds me of Hebrews 6, where the writer reminds the believers there that God is not unrighteous, you know, to forget your work and labor of love. God does pay attention to us, and that is a great encouragement, that God is aware every moment of the day what's going on in our lives.
God knows, and to a faithful believer, that's a great encouragement. Look at how the passage winds up here in verses 17 and 18. And the Bible says, and they shall be mine, talking about these people that are fearing God and God's remembering them and chronicling their encouragement to each other. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Wow.
Yeah, I think in verse 17, one thing that really jumps out to me about that is, again, we find the phrase used, Lord of hosts. We found it used earlier in the chapter, in their book, talking to people in the idea, hey, God is sovereign, you need to follow him. But now the idea is God is sovereign. He knows where you're at. God loves you. And he is the one who's in control. And he knows what's going on in your life. The people have been complaining about, you know, other people have been complaining about, you know, the wicked are doing great. We're not doing so well. But those that fear God understand, no, it may appear the wicked are prospering, but God is the victor. And those that follow God, they're going to be the jewels. And what a term that is, that we're the jewels of God.
And that's the point I wanted to make, is because the complaint was it's not valuable to serve God. And God says, oh my, those of you that are serving me, you are of inestimable value. You're like my jewels. You think about how a woman would keep her jewels in a jewelry box and carefully guard them, even insure them, because they're among her most precious possessions. The Lord's saying, you're valuable to me. A jewel is something that's durable, a precious gem that has permanence and value. And God says, those of you that are serving me and fearing me, there's permanence, there's value in that.
You know, that is a great blessing, and that is a great encouragement to remember that God views us that way. And I think in the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Eve, basically he tempted her to think that God really didn't care that much for her, but God didn't have her best interest in mind. But no, the Bible shows us just the opposite. God has our best interest at his heart, and God wants us to follow him and walk with him and to shine as trophies of his grace as we walk with him.
Yeah, so my friend, if you're discouraged today because you're looking out the window and you're seeing people that are prospering around you and you're asking how fair it is to serve God, quit looking out the window and start looking up through the skylight and to see a God that is looking at you and has a plan that far surpasses what happens in a moment, a day, or even a lifetime. God has it all figured out. He's got a plan for you. He's a good God, and we can trust him. And so I hope this has been an encouragement to you today. Looking forward to diving into the very last chapter of the book of Malachi. Matter of fact, last chapter in the Old Testament. And so I hope you'll join us again next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.